You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. I don't even know what to say. You watch Edwin Diaz on Wednesday, and you watch the Mets strand runner after runner after runner, and you think to yourself, and it's our own fault. You think to yourself, well, it can't get worse than this. The Mets stink. The bullpen's a disaster. You just lost to a team that's garbage in the Red Sox. And now you go to Atlanta, a legitimate baseball team. And you think, this is probably as bad as it can get. They can lose, but I don't know that they're going to lose in more heartbreaking fashion. Guys, as baseball crumbles around us, as the reports of Rob Manfred telling Tony Clark, you better get your players in order because this thing is falling apart. As Keith Olbermann has the report that networks are coming up with alternative programming starting on Monday. As players express extreme concern, you think to yourself, well, listen, we're just lucky to have baseball. We're just lucky that the sport that's been around for 170 years at this point is here that we can enjoy. Abner Doubleday's rolling over in his grave right now after watching the Mets last night. That was an unmitigated disaster. That was an embarrassment to the game of baseball. And I know that people will say, aren't you just glad it's back? Can't you just appreciate what you've got? And it may not be here for that long. Understand this, people. This team had an 8-2 lead. This team had a 10-6 lead in the eighth, when their full complement of Betances and Lugo and Diaz and Justin Wilson and everybody you wanted. And they still blew the game. You say, how can you be so angry? I don't know. I didn't anticipate this. You can't write a script for this. This is pathetic. This franchise is a disaster. Sell to Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen, just make an offer after the game. Take over now. I can't believe what I'm watching. How is this humanly possible? That they have a 4-run lead in the eighth, going to Betances, and he can't throw a strike? And then you bring in the savior, Seth Lugo, and for the second consecutive time, he's bad? You got to be kidding me. They're an embarrassment. That's what they are. But I'm done. I am done. It took what? What are they, 3-5 right now? And I'm not saying I'm done that I'm not going to watch the games, but I am telling you right now, I am not reacting like this anymore to this team. It's our own fault. If you're a Mets fan and you watch your team blow game after game after game, and they're put together so incompletely and so poorly, and you expect different results. Whose fault is that? That's our fault, people. Yeah, and the Yankees in their ivory tower just win. Susan Waldman and CC Sabathia and Aaron Judge and home runs, and they're winning, and it's easy. Not for the Mets. Never for the Mets. It's the same old song and dance every single time. Will I watch? I sure will. But I'm not having this overreaction every single day. When they blow the game next Friday, I'm not turning the radio on next Saturday and going to freak out. That's it. You know why? Because if Ty Butler was a single guy and he went into a bar and there was a 10... I mean, the most beautiful woman you've ever seen in your life. And he said, Dave, I'm gonna go hit on her. I said, all right, Ty, let's see what you got. And he came back and he said, Dave, I struck out. Should I be disappointed in Ty? No. Be disappointed in the expectation. Be disappointed that you thought there was ever a chance that someone like Ty could land someone like that. It's our own fault. This team is a joke. This organization is a joke. They hired a guy who should have never been a GM. They've put together such an embarrassment of a team. And there's some talent there. But oh my God. They find new and inventive ways to lose all the time. Last night, it's Betances. The game before, they're 4 of 24 with runners in scoring position. You can't lose games when you score 10 runs and have six-run leads and four-run leads with six outs to go. That's what they did. Now, I'm excited for the Rangers today. You get that right here at 11:30 on 98.7 ESPN. Voice of the Hurricanes, my buddy Mike Maniscalco, is going to join us at 9:45 this morning. Yankees and just rolling along. Two teams have one loss in Major League Baseball. Yankees, Marlins. See if the Marlins ever play a game again. Word out of St. Louis, Craig Mish reporting on Twitter. The not good news for the Cardinals coming. I don't know how long we're going to get baseball. If they shut baseball down tomorrow, at least the Mets have given us what the Mets usually give us. Agony, heartache, pain, suffering, emotion, shock, awe, all those things. Good for them. It's not easy to do that. It's not easy to play a week worth of games and have fans to the point where when they take their hair and rip it from the roots out, at least they make you feel like you're alive. Watching the game last night with my son, sitting in the kitchen, eating dinner, 8-2 lead, Dad. That's a big lead. I said, be careful. It's the Mets. He said, Dad, come on. Who would have thought that Chasen Shreve would have been your best reliever last night? And again, J.D. Davis, big hits, home run, drops a baseball. They are so poorly put together. They are so poorly put together. It is incredible to look at what Brody Van Wagenen has done with this team. But why should it have been any different? Really? Do you think he was capable? You had Chaim Bloom, a guy that's more than capable to put a team together. And the Mets and the Wilpons go with Brody Van Wagenen. Look at this team. It is unwatchable now. Well, you know what? You may not even be allowed to watch it for much longer, the way Major League Baseball is going. So here we are. They've been playing for a week. A week. And already they've got you to the level of unbelievable frustration. That is Mets baseball. There is no way that any other fan base in all of baseball right now can possibly wake up this morning and have the same feelings that a Mets fan does. None. Not one. I mean, the Tigers are winning games. Even if you're losing games, you don't have games won and then have them ripped away. This team is the laughing stock of baseball. Look at what they've done the last three nights. They blow a game with DeGrom on the mound. They blow another game. And then they blow another game. And that's three straight nights of this. I don't know what more there is to say at this point. Then it's the same old Mets. So you can continue to watch them. And when this happens, freak out. I will continue to watch them. And when this happens, I will not. I will discuss it. I will not be agitated anymore. You see, you can't do that. That's not in your DNA. I did it with the Giants. I knew the Giants stunk. And when they would lose games, and when the defense was awful, I sat there, I watched it, I shook my head, and then I watched the game that came on after the Giants. The Mets are not going to eat me up anymore. It's not going to pain me to the point where I just cannot get through a day or where it has me tossing and turning at night. That's done. So you have it. I pass the baton to you. But if you're a Mets fan, I can't even imagine on this beautiful Saturday, by the way, that you can even think about this baseball team right now. And we all want to blame Edwin Diaz, who, mind you, has been a disaster so far this season, picking right up where he left off. But it's not just him. Betances, the big acquisition, and Brody has to come out and say, well, we've got more starting pitching. I mean, the depth of starting pitching. I mean, he's starting Rick Porcello. He's starting David Peterson. Don't say stuff like that. Don't tempt the fate. Don't do that. The Mets can't get out of their own way. So the Yankees win again. I'd like to see the Yankees play a decent team. I guess last weekend they did. Baseball seems to be hanging on by a thread right now. But before it goes bye-bye, the Mets make sure to give you that lasting, flavorful taste of what Mets baseball really, truly is. Steve Cohen should wake up this morning, have a nice big glass of orange juice, call the Whale Pond and say, Fred, Jeff, I saw the game last night. Here's my offer. Let's get this thing done. Please, let's get this thing done. This, as I started, is an unmitigated disaster with the Mets. You can blame Diaz. You can blame Betances. You can blame Lugo. You can pick and choose. You can blame the defense. You can blame Brody. You can blame Rojas. I don't care who you want to pick and choose that messed this thing up. But the fact is, this team stinks. I am done.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
You haven't heard this from me in a long time. Well, I've just been so angry, like passionately angry about something, right? We haven't had sports in forever. And I'm watching the Mets last night and watching them just gag this game up because that's what they did. And I'm thinking, really, I've been waiting for this for months. Like, as we're taking family walks and trudging through April and May and June and July, I'm waiting for this. Well, that's what you got to wait on. That was an embarrassment last night. 800-919-3776. But again, this is what they are. Accept that this is what they are. And then when they do this, it doesn't frustrate you to the same level. Now, we usually say good morning to my producer, and we'll do that today, even though I'm not thrilled with you. Good morning, Ty Butler. How are you?
I am doing quite well, man. Yankees big 5-win victory last night. That after, of course, Aaron Judge propelled them to a win against the Orioles. You beat the Red Sox and the Orioles in back-to-back days, two division foes. Can't be mad about that. Lakers win Thursday night, play again tonight. So I'm in a mood, man. I feel pretty good about myself.
You know what's amazing to me is that it gives you such enjoyment. And as it's taking place, you have the unmitigated gall to be mocking me and going after me. And the fact you're a Yankees fan, you are royalty. Why would you steep down to this level the Mets are at and even pay attention to the Mets?
Well, listen, Dave, I felt horribly for you last night.
No, you did not.
You got to watch.
No,
three,
you did not. Stop it. You enjoy every minute of it, and I don't know
no,
why.
No, listen. You're
a sadist is what you are. Why would you want
sadist.
This from me?
Wow. Listen, we're friends. We're good friends.
I don't know that that's
I
true.
Immediately thought about you last night. Three former Knicks in the Mavs game, Tim Hardaway Jr., Kristaps Porzingis, and Trey Burke combined for 59 points. In that first half on national TV. Well, look, anytime you're a team rebuilding and you see the young players that you traded away for nothing excel on another team, it has to hurt you. And then
not even a little. If I told you I turned on the Mavericks game last night, I'd be lying to you.
Then you
I will sit here telling you right now, I can't even tell you if the Mavericks won or lost last night.
They lost last night. Great game in overtime.
I don't know. I don't care. I had no interest in the Mavericks.
But it's neither here nor there. My point is, you've got your basketball team in rebuild mode as they've been for the last two decades. Your baseball team just blew an 8-2 lead in three innings.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
And as I'm
boiling over at my house, I get you. Hey, how's it going? This seems like a rough loss. You're a bad guy.
I'm checking in on you.
You have this notion, and you want people, your aura to be that, yeah, no, I care, and I'm a good guy. You're a bad guy. You made it perfectly clear last night. Now I officially know what I'm dealing with, and that's fine.
But see, you take it so cynical. I'm legitimately checking in on
Stop
you.
It.
I haven't spoken. Well, we haven't done the show together in a couple of weeks. That's a terrible loss last night.
I know. If I thought you genuinely cared, if I thought you genuinely were checking in on me because you thought that I was that upset and it wasn't you taking the knife and twisting it into the liver and the kidneys, I would have thought, you know what, he's a decent guy. I know what you were doing. I know how you did it. You sent a nasty tweet out there into the Twitter sphere as well. You're a bad guy. We move forward.
I text you saying, I'm sorry.
You're not sorry.
I said, I'm sorry, man. Hate this is happening
to you. If you really cared, you'd left me alone.
Hate that this is happening to you.
Yes,
I don't
hate
understand.
That this is happening to you. That evil. You really are evil.
I'm creating a safe space for a man that I love and admire.
Stop it. 800-919-3776. My buddy Mike Maniscalco, the voice of the Canes, will join us at 9:45. Alan Hahn will join us at 11 o'clock this morning. We'll get into the Knicks and the Islanders as well. Rangers start at 11:30 this morning right here on 98.7 ESPN. The Mets are soiling themselves. The Yankees are rolling along. The Knicks have a new head coach. Hockey is back today. I mean, things are happening, baby. This is what we've been waiting for. This is what we've been waiting for. Let's go to the calls, 800-919-3776. How can you be a Mets fan and not want to talk to me this morning? Like, don't you need some kind of a therapeutic conversation? I'm here for you. You're here for me. Let's get this done. Nick in Middletown. Nick, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave. Exact sentiments. Last night, I don't even watch full games anymore. I started off the week watching a whole game, and it's a half a game. Now I just check in. My wife and I are watching last night. We flick on. It's 8-2. She says, why don't we watch for a while? I said, no, we'll just check back.
So you, come on, you honestly thought at 8-2, up 8-2, with the Braves basically saying, no mas, waving the white towel, you thought the Mets could possibly lose that game last night?
Yeah, I said, well, let's check back. And we checked back, and it was 11-10, and I look over at her, and she looked over at me with pity. And that's, that's the last thing I need is pity, but she literally looked at me like she was sad for me. And I went to bed, not because I really care that they lost, but physically I had a little pit in my stomach, and I'm on my way to work now, and I couldn't sleep because now it's physical. Now I feel angry.
Yeah, I feel the same way. You know, it's amazing, and thanks for the call, Nick. I feel the same way. Whenever one of my teams has these kind of losses and I really care about them, like, it actually impacts me. I mean, how crazy is that? That as we have a pandemic going on, as you don't know what's going to happen the next day, that watching the Mets can bring you to that kind of anger. God bless them, though, huh? That they've gotten here so quickly. Like, usually they start out with a decent, April. And then by the time June comes, they find ways to either not score runs or to do this. Like, teams don't do this. This is not normal. You're a Yankees fan. You don't experience this. How many of these did the Mets have last year? They had the one to the, off the top of my head, they had the implosion to the Phillies. They had the one to the Dodgers, right? That was in like the middle of the night where Diaz came in and completely fell apart. They had the Phillies one on a day game where he completely fell apart. They're given in the wrong lineups. I mean, this is really high-level ineptitude. This is not the Marlins and we stink. This is not we're the Orioles and we're just bad. This is, we do have some talent and we still are an abomination. That's next level, people. That's next level, people. 800-919-3776. Tyrone in Newark. Tyrone, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave, man, you say that's next level, but let's just be honest. Dave, I'm sorry, but the Mets have a history of these types of things, so it should never shock you when they do these things. Let's just hold up one second. No matter what, I don't care what team they got, for some reason, this happened to the organization. The Yankees also, they're going to be crying pretty soon, too. Something's going to happen. It's just something going to happen. That's why Jamal Adams went on and jumped off.
Well, hang on a second. Tyrone, hang on a second. Hang on a second. You want to call up and beat up on the Mets? Let's do that. How you're incorporating the Yankees, Jamal Adams?
Because
can we keep our focus here, please?
I'm just showing you, things that happen all the time. Like this is a trend. People know, these guys is athletes. They know what's going on. Now, come on, stop. And the Mets, ain't going to do nothing, man. They always do us like this. Win 5-6, you start talking about them. Next thing you know, they win, they lose the next 20. Come on, we don't got time for that. And then every year.
Oh, Tyrone, you know what the sad thing is? All I have is time, and thanks for the call. All I have is time. All I want to do is sit down and watch baseball and enjoy the Mets. That's all I want. And I'm sorry. I don't care who you are, where you are, where you're playing, what level. You have an 8-2 lead. You have a 4-run lead in the eighth. You should win the game. I don't care if you're the Orioles. I don't care if you're the Pirates. I don't care if you're the Mariners. I don't care who you are. You blow a 6-run lead? That's pathetic. You blow a 4-run lead in the eighth? That's pathetic. A 5-run eighth capped off by who else? Travis d'Arnaud? I mean, come on. Scott and Bethpage, you're next up, Scott.
Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm literally sick to my stomach right now. We can't beat this team. Maybe they'll let us have one game out of the four, but they know they're going to beat us. As a Giants fan as well, it's like it's with Philadelphia. They have our number. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Scott. The Eagles are better than the Giants right now. And I'm not saying the Braves aren't better than the Mets, because I think that they are. But if the Giants led the Eagles 21-0 with 5 minutes to go in the game and lost the game, as good as the Eagles might be and as bad as the Giants might be, I'd be furious about that. And that's what the Mets did last night.
I agree 100%. But, I mean, I've seen it with the Giants and the Eagles, and the Eagles, the Deshaun Jackson game. And with this, luckily, I had to be at work at 5:30 this morning. So in the eighth inning, when they started falling apart, I'm like, I'm not staying up to 12 o'clock to watch the end of this game. So I turn off the TV, but then I can't even sleep because I'm tossing and turning. I wake up, I go to my phone, I check the score. I'm like, I can't believe they lost. But why should I feel that way? Because I knew they were going to lose.
Yeah, you know they're going to lose. You see it happening. I mean, you see it 4 steps ahead. Thanks for the call, Scott. It's like a chess match, right? They say chess, I don't play, but they say like you can see the good players see 5 steps ahead. So if you looked 5 steps ahead last night, you said, they're going to blow this game. Like I see this is on the verge of happening, blowing this game, and yet it still drives you crazy. You still lose sleep over it. I don't understand why. Why are we like this? We are. They are unbelievable. They are unrelenting in their putrid nature. It's the same thing every single year. Well, I'm done. And a buddy of mine just texted me. I heard your rant on my way to a baseball game. I don't buy it. You'll be furious when the Mets blow it again today. I will not. I will not. I swear to you. Mets blow the game tonight, I'll laugh. I hope they win. I'll watch the game. When they blow the game tonight, I'll just laugh. That's what they are. That's all I can do with them. They are the laughing stock. I will laugh. That's it. I'm done. You can say I don't believe you. I promise you, I'm done. I'm done becoming emotionally crazy when it comes to the Mets.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
My buddy, old morning show co-host, Mike Maniscalco, the voice of the Canes, joins us here on 98.7. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, David. And look at us now.
That's right. Who would have ever thought we'd get out of the sandbox so beautifully?
Exactly.
So Rangers had their way with Carolina during the regular season. They beat them 4-0, outscored them 17-9. Any reason to look into that at all, or this starts completely fresh now today?
I think that with everything that's happened, Dave, you have to think this is a completely fresh start. And, you know, I've always had the mindset of in the playoffs, you just reset the one loss record. It doesn't matter. Last year, the Canes were 0-4 against the Washington Capitals, the defending Stanley Cup champs, and they knocked them out in the first round. So I don't put a lot of stock into this regular season other than the Rangers goalies have always been phenomenal against the Carolina Hurricanes. And I mean, this is going all the way back to 2010. And Mika Zibanejad and Artemi Panarin were outstanding in the regular season series. That's what I take out of what the Rangers did. For the Canes, though, I throw out pretty much everything that they did. And this is a brand new season, a brand new start, and we've never had anything like this. So I don't think we can really lean on any trope like, well, in the regular season, this happened.
Yeah, this is going to be completely different for everybody. You mentioned the Rangers goalies, and I know the new hot thing to do in the NHL is you never announce your goalie. As far as I can see, Mike, and maybe I'm missing something, have the Rangers announced Shesterkin as the starting goalie today?
No, I haven't seen that from them, but that's what we all believe it's going to be here. And I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be. He was so good for this team, and he was good against the Hurricanes in his one start. The only reason why I think it would be Hank is because Henrik Lundqvist was was just dominant, and he has been throughout his career against the Hurricanes. That's not, I know I said throughout the regular season, but from the Ranger perspective, that's the only reason why I would look at Lundqvist. But if you think that Shesterkin is the guy, and I think David Quinn and the Ranger fans all saw that down the stretch, if you think he's the guy, give him this start and see what you've got.
So for you, and I know you're such a hockey guy, key to the series, like Rangers win the series of what? Canes win the series of what?
Rangers win the series if they keep getting the goaltending that they continually get from that position. Hurricanes win the series if they win the special teams battle. If they keep the Rangers, and I know that those are two old coaching cliches, but if they keep the Rangers off the score sheet when the Rangers have the power play and the Canes get goals with the man advantage, Carolina's going to win the series.
Now, last we saw, and Mike Maniscalco here, voice of the Canes on 98.7 ESPN, last we saw, Zibanejad and Panarin were just playing otherworldly. They were just, I mean, unbelievable point after point. Zibanejad, one of the best two-way forwards in the entire NHL. Is that the key for the Canes in this series, to slow those two guys down? Because you have to think that if you can, you have a really good chance of winning this.
Yeah, I think that that's always one of those theories where you make the other guys beat you. Don't let the other team's best win the series. And I think Rod Brind'Amour knows that. Go back to his days as one of the best two-way players in the history of the league. And he knows what he's going to have to do. The smart thing that the Rangers do is how they've split up Panarin and Zibanejad. So that's going to force Rod Brind'Amour to put Jordan Staal, his best two-way forward, on either Zibanejad or the Panarin line. And then he might have to split up his defensive pairing, which right now without Dougie Hamilton is going to be Jacob Slavin and former New Jersey Devil Sammy Vatanen, and put them out against whoever they don't put Jordan Staal against. But yeah, I mean, you have to slow those guys down, because if they run wild in a series, it's going to be hard to keep up. And, you know, the Canes need their guys to score. They need Andre Svechnikov and Sebastian Aho to be goal scorers, and the guy that they acquired at the trade deadline from Florida, they need Vincent Trocheck to be the guy who was the all-star 2 years ago for the Panthers. And he had a really good exhibition game. You know, the Canes had a lot of rust in that game against the Caps on Wednesday, but Trocheck was the one guy who looked like he was ready to go from the drop of the puck.
This is quick, and we had David Quinn on with us the other day, and he seemed to not really take this too much into account, but he really can't. Like, this is quick. You're going from 0 to 100 in days, right? A couple days ago, Rangers-Islanders, which is a rivalry certainly, Mike, but it's a preseason game, and you're going from a preseason game to a postseason game in 48 hours. This is really unprecedented territory.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think the other thing that's going to be tough, Dave, for everybody, there's no crowd. You know, there's no emotion to feed off of from outside forces. It all has to come from within. So whichever team can generate that kind of intensity quickly, that's going to be the team that has an advantage. And that's not just in this series. That's in all of these series, all of these qualifiers all the way through.
The Canes forecheck obviously is kind of their bread and butter here. The Rangers defensively, like that's got to be one of the matchups you look at and say whoever can win that, have the advantage there, has a huge advantage in the series.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what the Canes are going to do. They're going to get the puck in deep on the Ranger defense and force them to make a play. And if they can get in on this defense quickly and force turnovers, that's going to make life miserable for the Rangers. But that's how the Canes play, and it's not just one line that does it. When the Canes are rolling, it's all four lines that go in, make life just an absolute living hell for the defenders because they're tired of turning their backs and taking a hit and trying to get rid of the puck or just move it up the dashers. So if the Canes get on their forecheck, and this is something that Rod Brind'Amour has preached, you just have to get to your game. And whichever team gets there first, if the Canes are aggressive on that forecheck and you see them getting and winning those puck battles behind the net, behind Shesterkin or behind Lundqvist, wherever it's going to be, if the Canes are doing that, it's going to be a long series for the Rangers.
All right, so how are you working the series? You're not up in Toronto, right? You're back home in Raleigh calling it off the monitor. Is that the plan here?
Yeah, I am actually in PNC Arena, the Canes' home building right now, and we're calling it off of a monitor. So how you guys are watching it, I'm calling it off of the TV, and hopefully I can keep up. And I need the players to stay away from the far boards, because when they're on the far boards and turn their back, I might as well just say Dave Rothenberg with the puck.
You could. I think it'd be a great look down in there in Raleigh, because they'd remember me, but maybe not remember me, and they'd associate me with you. So I think you should. A big goal, big moment, mention me.
I might do that. I might. A Rothenberg-esque play made by the Rangers.
I love it. Mike, you are the best. Have a great call today, and I'll talk to you soon, pal.
Thank you, friend. Anytime you need me, just give me a call.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
All right, here we go. I was out last week. I'm back this week, ready to roll here on a very busy hockey playoff Saturday. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of the wonderful and talented Andrew M. Cohen. Ty, before we start, let's just do a little house cleaning here. My understanding is that Gordon, who did well last week, there was some shadiness involved. Would you tend to agree with that?
What do you mean by shadiness?
Well, I heard that he did well, answered many questions correctly.
9-1.
Took an extended period of time with every answer, like minutes long to answer questions.
So you are insinuating that there was typing going on in between questions?
Cheating. No, I'm not insinuating typing. Cheating. My sources tell me, and I had more than one to corroborate, that there was clear evidence of cheating going on last week during Stump Rothenberg.
Clear evidence?
Yeah.
Like an overwhelming source of evidence that Gordon was not being truthful.
Yeah.
Can I just say
Do you agree with that?
Maybe.
You don't deny that there's a chance of that did happen.
Let's just put it this way. I wouldn't be shocked if I learned that that was true.
Mm-hmm.
But I take further exception with Gordon. He didn't allow me to ask a question. And that's usually a staple in Stump Rothenberg. Like Ty's question, mm-hmm. It's a gem. He didn't allow me to ask a question, so I'm not happy with
him. How many times in the existence of Stump Rothenberg have you ever said, Dave, I have a question? I've said, no, Ty, you can't ask it.
That would be zero.
That's right. That's right, because you and I are simpatico,
yes.
And clearly Gordon, as good as his knowledge may be, he just doesn't get it like we get
So
it.
Just do me a favor.
Yeah.
Never take off again.
Yes, I will never take a Saturday off as long as I live. All right, here we go. Let's start out. Paul Bayridge, Stump Rothenberg, a go.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning, Paul.
We're going to go football to start off.
Okay.
Who is the only NFL quarterback to throw for 400 yards in 3 consecutive weeks?
There's only been one?
I know, it's hard to believe.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. I do it with the other guys during the week, and we get, like, little clues and stuff. All right. I'm thinking it's probably not going to be a huge name. He's the only one to ever do it?
In 3 regular season weeks, yeah.
Now, I know Ryan Fitzpatrick has done it, but I don't know if he's the only one. This is shocking to me that a quarterback has never gone for over 400 3 straight weeks. And I think he did it when he was with the Buccaneers. But I can't imagine that he's the only one. But I guess that'll be my answer. But I don't know. This just feels weird to me.
Is that your final answer?
Oh, God. Yes.
You're correct. Yes.
And you're sure he's the only one? That is nothing short of shocking to me. All right. 1-0. Let's continue along. Let's go to Sean in Jersey. Sean, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Oh, hi, Dave. How's it going?
What's up, Sean?
Okay. My question to you is on the NCAA.
Okay.
Okay. It's the only NCAA school to be located outside the United States. It's a Division II.
And it's a and they participate in Division II, what, college basketball?
Yes, they do.
I don't know that I'm going to know this. Is it? So it's either Canadian and are we considering Puerto Rico to be United States?
Yes, we are.
So that's got to be Canadian then, right? I don't think I know this. I could turn to Ty and challenge the question. Ty, what do you think about this question?
I think the question is fair.
You think it's fair?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So then I can't turn to Ty and challenge the question. I'm going to guess McGill.
You're wrong. Sorry.
What's the answer?
It's Southern Fraser University outside of Vancouver, British Columbia.
It's what university?
Simon Fraser.
Okay. All right. I have heard of that. I would have never, ever, ever guessed that. I'm sure Gordon would have got it, though. All right. Let's go to Rob in Jersey. Rob, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Okay. I got you a very fair question. One of my favorites.
Now, would you agree that that last question was not the most fair question?
I agree.
Okay.
It was an unfair question.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. I mean that.
I take your word as the gospel, so continue.
No, it's honest. I'm very frank.
I know you
okay,
are.
Okay, here's a question. A lot of ball players hit a home run his first time at bat. This guy did it, and then he went 26 years later, 26, and he never hit a home run after that. He's in the Hall of Fame, and he also pitched a no-hitter.
Give me the question again.
Hit a home run his first time at bat. Okay? Mm-hmm. Played in the majors till he was age 48. He was in the majors 26 years. He hit a home run his first time at bat. He never hit a home run after that. I'll give you a couple more hints. He's in the Hall of Fame, and plus, he pitched a no-hitter.
Pitched a no-hitter?
Yeah, you don't want to know who he pitched it against?
All right, yeah, sure. No, I don't know. Ty, am I allowed to take that information?
Yes. I'll grant you that. This is okay. A tough question.
All right. Who did he pitch the no-hitter against?
Yankees.
He pitched the no-hitter against the Yankees. Now, is this a forever-ago guy?
In his 60s.
All right. So he's actually someone that I've heard of?
Yes. He was a very good pitcher. You can check it. I did it three times on it's on a baseball card. I checked it in a computer. I thought it was a good question.
No, that's a great question. All right, so it's the 1960s, so it's obviously an American League pitcher.
Correct.
Oh, my goodness.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
He's in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, and he pitched a no-hitter against the Yankees. You can check it all up.
Did he hit? Was it a regular season game he...
Yes.
He threw the no-hitter in?
I'll give you another hint. He was a relief pitcher.
So I know Jim Bunning, but he did it against the Mets, so it can't be him.
No.
I don't really know this one either. 60s. Ty, you know this?
I do not know this.
You do not know
it's
this.
It's a tough question.
Yeah, I don't think I know this. I don't have the answer for you.
Hoyt Wilhelm.
Okay. Okay. Hoyt Wilhelm, I don't think is the 60s, though. So I don't know if we're going to take that into account. But I don't think Hoyt Wilhelm did that in the 60s. But that's just something I'm throwing out there. Ty, if you want to look that up, that'd be great. Let's continue along here. These are brutal questions, Ty. Would you not agree?
Brutal as in, like, degree of difficulty?
I mean, are they fun? Is it fun to get me on questions like this? Maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, Simon Fraser University? I mean, people don't know this stuff. Let's continue. I think Kyrie's got to do a better job screening some of these. Let's go to Steve in Suffern. Steve, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. I have TV for you.
All right.
In the original TV series, The Fugitive, Dr. Kimball, throughout the series, is looking for the one-armed man. Finally, he finds the one-armed man. What is the name of the one-armed man in the TV series?
You want his real name, or you want the actor's name?
No, the name of the character. The name of the one-armed man.
Ty, I'm going to turn to you again. Is this really the depths of the questions we're going to?
Hey, Steve, repeat the question one more time.
He wants to know the name of the one-armed man in the TV show The Fugitive.
Yes. the name of the one-armed man, the character, the one-armed man.
Yeah. Ty, I'm turning to you.
As the great Randy Jackson would say, that's going to be a no from me, dog.
I mean, would you agree with me that I mean, what kind of questions are these?
The first three questions were difficult, but they were fair. That one was just an abomination.
I mean, do you not look at Kyrie and think he needs to be better?
No, I think what happens is he screens them and then they change the question while they're on hold.
You think these are all changed questions?
Yes. They call audibles while they're on hold.
And then they're bad people.
They are.
Bad
They've
people.
They've got
to
be
all
better.
All right, let's go to Bernie in Westchester and see if he can get us back on track. Otherwise, we're going to take a break and I'm going to have to reconvene here. Bernie, go ahead.
All right, so
are you going to ask me some inane question, Bernie?
Absolutely not. It's a great question.
Okay.
Every game, we always sing the national anthem, whether you kneel, whether you stand, everyone wants to talk about it. So the Star-Spangled Banner is in the Smithsonian Museum. How many stars and how many stripes does the Star-Spangled Banner, which the national anthem was written about, have?
How many stripes does the Star-Spangled Banner have?
Yes.
Now, is that any different? You say the Star-Spangled Banner. Is that different than a regular American flag?
Yes. The flag that the song is about is different than the American flag, and the original one is posted. And how many stripes does it have, and how many stars does it have?
All right. I'm going to say 13.
No. Mm-hmm. It has 15 stripes and 15 stars.
All right. I'm going to take a break because these people are pathetic. I mean, this is just, it's awful. They're ruining what's a beautiful segment. So Kyrie's going to have to up his game, or we're going to have to figure out a way to do better. Otherwise, we will eliminate the segment from the show. Ty, I'm beside myself right now.
It's okay. 1-3, we will regroup.
No, that's not the record. It's these are not questions. Right, these are not questions.
I'll get us back on track. I think I've got a phenomenal NFL question for you.
What we might need to do is just have you participate. Just you, like you ask me random questions.
I don't know if Gordon would approve of that.
Well, Gordon probably be 5-0 right now. He'd be rolling along. He'd be like, oh, Simon Fraser, founded by Paul Simon. and Fraser Crane. That's the university out west in British Columbia. All right. 800-919-3776. Deep breath. We'll regroup. Kyrie will be better. Ty will be better. I will be better. We'll be back. 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
After a hideous start to the segment, both me and you, we return. Stump Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN. All right, Ty, I feel rejuvenated. That break did me good. I'm ready to go, and I think the callers are going to have better questions than they started out with. What do you think?
Yes, I think so, too. Guys,
okay,
let's do it.
Yes. All right, let's go to Corey in Brooklyn. Corey, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Clay in Brooklyn, actually, but how are you today?
I'm okay. That's foreboding, but go ahead, Clay.
I've been called work. Corey's fine. So the University of Illinois basketball team has only produced two players who win championships as pros. One of them won one championship, the other one won two championships, and they happen to have been teammates. Can you name either of them?
So, University of Illinois basketball players that won NBA titles.
They did not win in the NBA. They won them as pros, but not in the NBA. And they were teammates.
So, you're asking me guys that won, like, CBA championships. Or
not CBA, professional championship. CBA is semi-pro.
Ty, can you explain this to me?
I guess overseas titles overseas.
Nope, in America, but not the CBA. They were professional championships.
G League,
but
not D League. No.
All right. We can't do that.
I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, really, you guys are ruining what is one of the great segments.
All right, Dave, let me get you back on track here. Okay?
You can't even tell us where they won the championships.
All right. So this is motivated by me watching Giannis. He can go for a regular season MVP and a NBA Finals MVP in the same season. So I thought about how many times that's actually happened in football, a regular season MVP and a Super Bowl MVP. And it's happened six times. Six players have won a regular season MVP and a Super Bowl MVP in the same season. So can you give me three of them? Three of the players.
All right, repeat this for me.
Three players.
So, I'm looking for regular season MVP, Super Bowl MVP.
In the same season. Six players have done it. Can you give me three?
I believe Steve Young.
That's correct.
Montana?
That's correct.
Bart Starr.
There you go. The other players who have done so, Terry Bradshaw in 1978, Emmitt Smith.
Kurt Warner?
Yes. Warner did it in 99. He was the last player to do it. And Emmitt Smith did it in 1993. So there you go.
Now that's a respectable question. Not easy, but at least something people have heard of. You don't have to explain what the Super Bowl is to me. You guys can do this. I know you can.
It's a professional championship.
What do you think he was actually going to wind up? Like, where do you think we were going to wind up there?
I don't know.
When I said CBA and he said, no, that's not a professional championship. Like, that's disrespectful to the CBA, isn't it?
That's disrespectful to Stephon Marbury, who's made a whole career out of that, winning titles over there.
All right. Let's go Mike Farmingdale. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, what's going on, man?
Mike, I'm concerned for your question. Is it going to be respectable?
I mean, I think so. When you're a smart man, you usually get these.
All right, go ahead.
So we're going positive Mets history because that's all we got to live by nowadays. So, who started and won the first Subway Series game ever played between the Mets and the Yankees?
Oh, all I can think of is it? Hang on, like Malicki, right? Isn't it? No, you're talking when you say Subway Series, you mean Yankees Mets, right?
Correct.
Is it Bob Malicki? Oh God, and the Mets shut him out. I don't know if you said that or not. It's either Dave Malicki or Bob Malicki.
Dave,
can
Maloney.
I just go with Malicki?
What was that?
Malicki.
Yeah, Dave Malicki.
Dave Malicki, okay. I gotta say Dave Malicki, but there you go. All right, so that's not a terrible question.
That's a really good question.
And I got it, so that's nice also. All right, so we've hit two in a row here. At least we've gotten something out of it. We continue or we stop now?
No, let's do it. Let's continue.
Jake and Chester. Jake, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave. I have an NFL question.
Okay.
First quarterback to defeat all 32 NFL teams.
Is it Favre?
Correct.
Okay, that's three in a row. Now, that tie, I mean, I do know a little something. I think we're rolling here, yes?
Yes. You didn't lose your composure. You've got a lot of poise. You're Jacob DeGrom.
I never lose my composure. More or you're done?
No, let's go again. Let's keep going.
All right, let's go to Matt in Rockland. Matt, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Who is the only U.S. president whose first language was not English?
Only U.S. president whose first language was not English?
Correct.
All right, so this
I have some hints if you need.
No, I don't want hints yet. It's going to be an old guy. But here's the thing. You have to be born in this country now, so it's going to be old. It's not George Washington, even though he wasn't born here. It could be Martin Van Buren, because I know he's Dutch. Over Cleveland. I'm going to say Martin Van Buren, but I'm hesitant with that.
That's correct.
Yes. Four in a row, Ty. We good?
Hot streak. Now let's go one more. Let's go one more
because you want me to end on a cold.
No, I like the momentum.
All right, let's go to Sal in Astoria. We'll see if Sal can finish us off good here.
Dave, guys, good morning. I have a legitimate baseball question for you.
Okay.
Who's the first player in Major League Baseball history to homer from both sides of the plate in the same inning?
First player, home runs.
In baseball history, same inning, both sides of the plate.
And I know this.
Not that long ago.
Yeah. Same inning, huh? And I know this. I've heard this question before. Now, Fernando Tatis is the old answer for two Grand Slams.
Right.
Is it a big-time player? Yes?
Well, he's answering, but it's not going on the air.
What do you mean he's answering?
Well, I'm not going to allow you to get that kind of a clue.
I wonder if it's Eddie Murray. Eddie Murray, one of the great switch hitters. I'm going to go with Eddie Murray.
Nope. Ugh. The answer is Carlos Baerga against the Yankees.
What year was that?
1993. And Steve Howe and Steve Parr.
Same inning, huh?
Same inning.
All right.
I remember
what you
game. Remember what it was yesterday.
Okay. Good. I think, it's a decent question at least. I think Eddie Murray did it in the same game then, and I guess Baerga did it in the same inning. So, all right. I think we recovered a little bit. Ty, would you agree with that?
Yeah. I think we salvaged that in the best way that we could.
We got to figure out a way for people to be better, though. We have to save people from themselves, and who's got to do that.
You can only put people in position to be great. You're like the head coach. If they go out there and go 0 for 17 from 3, then, you know, it's on them.
Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of the great Andrew M. Cohen, where the issue is simple or complex. The law office of Andrew M. Cohen can help you achieve your legal needs through very careful, precise, and beautiful legal planning. Call 516-877-0595 or visit amcohenlaw.com.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.